Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and for a brief moment, probably not a moment, probably for like the next 8 or 9 months, exhaling all things Ravens, inhaling all things Sarasota and Orioles. Luke Jones joins us now. We are going to be doing a cup of Super Bowl 2 weeks from now. We have been cleaning out Ravens lockers and talking about Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson and Eric DaCosta and draft picks and certainly Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. But we got baseball season here. Luke, first off, I mean, I know you've been in the purple bat cave here through the weekend and the ice and snow, and it's been chilly this week and like all of that. I do think it's a little bit of a come up for air time. A lot of our kindred spirits who have remained Orioles and Ravens and before that Colts fans for all of these years, the minute that the season's over, all the Mark Andrews, Lamar, Buffalo, all that, it's, well, how many days do pitchers and catchers report? When's opening day? All of that. You are certainly one of those people. So I will open the door to say, let's not talk anymore about the football game last week. Can we do that for a couple minutes? Can we just like pretend it didn't happen?
Yeah, let's just go from the team that can't get the job done in January to the team that can't get the job done in October, right?
I thought you were the nice guy of the two of us. Why do I? Why
Come on,
am
that
I the
was too.
prick?
If we're going to transition from Ravens to Orioles, I mean that's kind of a, you know, that's a hanging curveball belt
And
high
about
right
my
there.
press pass, while we're on. But anyway, so nonetheless, it is baseball season, and we have plenty of time for football, but this is a time where you and I have been assessing football and saying, all right, what are they going to do about the guards? What are they going to do about this? What are they going to do about that? Like, we're on to that already, and we're going to have 8 months of, you know, whether Kyle Van Noy is coming back. Meanwhile, the baseball thing, you know, we're in the 11th hour of getting ready for spring training, and Corbin Burns is gone. And I guess this is the entree. John Martin from the lottery always likes my segues. This is the segue to saying, that Santander guy, what's he doing in Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, you did not receive the WNST Baltimore Positive text on the text alert because I was in the midst of locker cleanout. I actually didn't see the Santander news till probably 20 minutes after it came out. But at the same time, we knew he wasn't coming back. I mean, the moment they signed Tyler O'Neill, they told you where they were with Santander. And, you know, we're going to see how this plays out. I said all along I wasn't opposed to bringing back Santander, but I also said I was not hot and bothered about a 5-year commitment to do it. You're talking about a 30-year-old coming off of a career high in home runs. He had 44 home runs. His previous career high before that was 33. You know, but he's been a guy who's, you know, 28 home runs 2 years ago. You know, the walk numbers have gotten better over the last couple of years, but we're still only talking about someone with a career 307 on base percentage. You know, I think his defense in right field, there's a discussion there how much longer he's really going to be, you know, an outfielder, you know, corner outfielder rather than a DH or a first baseman. You know, I still think that's probably his long-term position. So, you know, they'll miss him from a standpoint of he was a good soldier. He's one of their core players that helped anchor the turnaround. He's made himself into a heck of a player. When you consider where he was, I mean, this was a Rule 5 pick back in 2017, and got better and went through a lot health-wise. You know, he's stayed relatively healthy, although he was pretty banged up over the course of last season. So I don't want to belittle the player. I mean, Santander, he's been a guy that's been worth two or three wins above replacement the last few years. You know, he's been a good core player for this team, but I don't think anyone ever looked at him over the last couple of years and thought, wow, that's a guy that you're going to build around long term. So, you know, I think if, put it this way, if Anthony Santander had been, you know, more in the neighborhood of what they gave Tyler O'Neill, then okay. But I don't think Mike Elias and the Orioles front office view that as being the best long-term commitment you can make. So look, it's not my money at the end of the day. So I'm not going to sit here and pat them on the back over that. But if I'm trying to be in the mode of thinking as them, then I can understand not wanting to go 5 years with someone who's 30 and, you know, kind of has a skill set that doesn't necessarily age all that well. I think I think he's got 2 good years in him, and then we're going to see after that. But if you're Toronto, I mean, we talk about the Orioles and how the Orioles have been, quote, in on these guys, right? That's been Toronto's whole story the last couple of years, going back to Ohtani last offseason. So,
Dude, I was in Toronto the night that they reported that Ohtani was on the plane coming to Toronto. I literally was there that night. It was mayhem.
I mean, and look, the Blue Jays, and we've used the Blue Jays, we've held them up as a cautionary tale for the Orioles. I mean, the Blue Jays, about 2 years, 2.5 years before the Orioles really started to turn the corner, they were perceived in a similar light, with Vlad and Bichette and all these young players, and they've had some success, but nothing in October, right? Nothing to write about in terms of postseason or anything like that. It's been abrupt for them when they've made it. So, they wanted to do something clearly. They were another one of those teams that tried I to get Juan Soto, but we've talked about this. What does it mean to try? What does it mean to finish second or third for every free agent, right? I mean, doesn't mean I'm questioning your effort, but if you don't land those guys, what does it really do for you? So they land Santander, he stays in the AL East. Certainly the Orioles need to be aware of that. Again, if it were a 3-year deal on those terms, I'd say, man, I really would have liked the Orioles to have been in on that. But for a 5-year deal, and I think what there's even I think there's a vesting option that in there too. I didn't get a chance to read all the details,
I'm wondering what the
but
productivity level is, and that in the baseball industry, we go back to Pat Gillick even saying to me 28 years ago, you don't want to be the person spending the most in the room on the least. You know what I mean? Like in a
yeah.
general sense, it's not, even if you have money to burn, it's not really money to burn. And they burned through some money on pitching. Like I'm not. If I'm writing the, I don't know, not half written book of their off season, but I'd say they're at 75% of whatever they're going to do at this point in their off season to be evaluated. And it's never, the real evaluation comes the day after the season ends, right? I mean, ask Eric DaCosta, ask us, we've been evaluating the Ravens season in totality. It's always a going thing for me, even with pitching and money and young players and let's say Rutschman gets fixed this year and Bassaio becomes the number one prospect in the sport somehow, and that gets you Dylan Cease on July 27th. I don't know. You know, that's the way baseball plays out. So there's nothing absolute. The world keeps spinning in baseball. So I can't evaluate it and say, how's the offseason? I can only say, how's the offseason right now? Because Corbin Burns came along right about now last year, and so did arm troubles for Bradish and everything else that we were talking about. Tyler Wells this time last year, right? We're talking about John Means this time last year. So the things that were last year aren't this year. And where are you on all of it? Because we haven't talked, we've been so baseball, baseball, baseball. Bring me in on your evaluative process on they still need another starter because they don't have a one. At least they maybe they think they do with Rodriguez and Eflin, right? Bullpen, they'll never have enough of that. I don't think you'll ever take the foot off of that. And I'll never take the foot off of, I'll believe Batista's a closer again when I see him be a closer, not the one guy from 2 years ago. Just being a guy that like 30 saves into this and 5 blown saves and they're 64 and 41 or whatever, you know, wherever they're going to be, believing that at the All-Star break, you have a guy, a dude, you know, that the dude in that spot. I don't know. And then the Santander thing, I honestly haven't thought much about their lineup because all I've been thinking about is their pitching. You know, I thought, well, you know, if Rutschman stinks and if Westberg gets hurt again and Henderson's the only guy that hits, Santander couldn't save him last year, but they're going to miss that bat. When I saw him with the little Blue Jay logo, I'm like, I don't know if I like this.
I mean, but at the same time, all I heard people complain about the last couple of years is the Orioles rely on the home run. Well, go look at Anthony Santander's splits. I mean, he was a 200 hitter through the first 2 months of the season, and over the last 2 months of the season, he hit 13 home runs, but he batted 209, right? So I hear everything you're saying, but But what
I'm
you're saying
okay
about
with them departing. I just don't think they've replaced the offense or the pitching. In my mind, they're a little bit of a diminished team from where we left them when Corbin Burns was coming out everything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think
Yeah.
they're a better team this week. Late January, you have not, if you're sending me Birdland memberships and you're
Oh,
Katie Craig's and you're Don, if you're
I hear you.
selling me on the offseason, not just the buying tickets and David Rubenstein being a great guy and you and I using the money that I'm going to cancel today, I still haven't canceled my New Orleans trip, to turn that into you and I going down to Sarasota for 4 or 5 days and running around and having a good time with baseball and doing our jobs professionally and maybe hanging out in a coffee shop and talking about baseball in Sarasota. Like, I don't have any of that as a host of as Nasty Nestor or Baltimore Positive or the guy on the internet to say things have changed and it's baseball season and new sheriff's in town and look at the players that they've signed and the commitment that they've had and look at Cal Ripken on the commercials. And I don't know, but it's their time now. And I
Yeah.
beat the hell out of them at Christmas time because they weren't taking advantage of the Ravens' success. You know what I mean? Like, I beat them up saying, you need to be in front of people. Now they're having some caravan. The caravan's so great that they're not even going to tell you who's coming. Like, what? Come on, man. Come on, man. It's baseball season. Now then my bar raises for them and I become a prick on the radio again because I just don't. There's no way to portray this as an improved team in the offseason. I can't do that. I don't think you can.
Well, see, I'll disagree a little bit from the standpoint of if you look at their internal talent that they have and expecting improvements from young guys, as opposed to when you have players like Anthony Santander, who's 30 years old, where that trajectory is not very unlikely to continue going up, right? At best, he's going to be the same player that he's been.
I'm all for
So
finding the next version of that, right?
that would be my argument to what you just said. And do I believe that wholeheartedly? No, I mean, I'd like to see them have more from a upside from their starting pitching standpoint. You know, we've talked about it a lot in terms of what they did with Charlie Morton, in terms of what they've done with Tomoyuki Sugano, and whatever he's going to be. But clearly, they think he's going to be something, or you don't give him, even on a 1 year deal, you don't give him the amount of money that they gave him. So, you know, the back half of their rotation has more depth than it did a few months ago. But when you're missing Corbin Burns, that's a pretty, you know, a Corbin Burns-sized hole at the top of your rotation is a lot to overcome. However, and this is where I'll stick up for them a little bit. While I think all of the concerns about where they are starting pitching-wise are fair, on the flip side, I do think a lot of people are vastly underrating the group of position talent that they have at this point in time, even with Anthony Santander going out the door. Because Gunnar Henderson, does he have another level? He might. I'm not saying you expect that, but what he was last year was a top four or five player in the American League, if not all of baseball, right? I mean, that's what you have there. The Adley Rutschman thing is pivotal, right? I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt that what the player that we saw over the first 2 years of his career is much more the player that he is rather than the guy that we saw struggle over the final 3 months of the season. I still am not convinced that he wasn't dealing with some kind of at least nagging injury, even if they don't want to come out and say it for whatever reason. I think, you know, what you mentioned about Jordan Westberg, I mean, yeah, if he gets hurt, you can say that about anyone. If Juan Soto breaks his ankle on opening day, then yeah, the Mets are going to be really, they're going to be sunk, right? I mean, they're going to be in trouble. So you can say that about anyone, but you know, Jordan Westberg hitting another level. You know, Jackson Holliday, I absolutely expect to be better in his age 21 season than he was in his age 20 season. So, you know, you go down the list of the players that they have. I think a lot of people, because of the frustration on the pitching side and just the nature of this offseason feeling meh, even though as I've said to you and we've talked about in isolation, every move they've made, I can understand the rationale, you know, even if it's not necessarily the direction I would have gone in. But I think on the flip side of that, it's led to a lot of people selling short what they have. The Orioles, for what it's worth, and I just looked at four different sports books. If you look at the Orioles in terms of win-loss total and World Series odds.
Let me guess, because I'm not a gambler. Hold on, let me guess. I think the over-under on them is 88.
89 and a half.
All
And
right,
you
there
know
you
what?
go. All right.
And you know what? That's second best in the American League.
So
Yankees are.
89 and a half, would I bet the over or the under on them right this minute? I think I would bet the over. Can I make a happy case for the Orioles? Can you send this to Katie Greg? Send this, because I'm about to make a happy case for them. All right. I'm
Sure.
about to make the
Sure,
optimism
sure.
case for them. All right. A, they have ascending players. And whether you think Rutschman, whatever that was last year, he's a 1-1 overall. I don't know. God forbid there's something, some issue I don't know about or we don't know about, that anything is possible, right? But I would say, pitching wise, I think they've gotten enough arms now to have enough number three pitchers and number four pitchers. And if you mix Dean Kramer in and say he'll be a little better, Rodriguez will take the next step, which,
That's the big one
well,
for their
I mean, that has
rotation.
to happen
Yeah.
all the way through.
Sure,
They
sure, sure.
have to get Corbin Burns' production out of a guy they're not paying to be Corbin Burns, because they're paying all these other guys half of Corbin Burns or a third of Corbin Burns to be a third of Corbin Burns, which you're getting with 41-year-old pitchers. Japanese kid, he's not a kid, which is
Yeah, I
why
was
they
gonna
paid him a
say,
lot of money.
who knows? I mean, who knows?
Those things are hell in a bottle, because it could, I've seen Hideki Arabo, and I've also seen like guys that are Tanaka, guys that are like you don't know enough about. He's a little younger, but guys you don't know enough about. But I would think this isn't Sid Thrift, although I had a great Sid Thrift conversation last week with Mike Bolani from Buffalo. Sid Thrift was the GM of the Pirates when Bolani was running the Bisons in the 80s. So he spent a lot of time with Sid. So when I channeled my Sid, I got cheers from Bolani, because it was pretty good Sid. But I'm thinking, like, they've done a lot of math, on the Japanese guy. There's 25 years of studies on what the level of their play is and the level of this play. And these guys think they're geniuses, right? So they can look at tape, they can look at this, they can bring him over, and they can say arm angle, speed, velocity. Oh, they poked him around. They've done the. We do know they've given him a physical. Pending physical, we do know that that's a real thing in the modern era, as I see you chuckle. But my optimism for them is that Westberg's going to become the next thing. And I'm trying to compare him to somebody, but I don't know. Scott Rolen, I don't, okay, I'll just throw a name out, right? I'll just a
Sure,
Hall of
let's.
Famer. Yeah, just a guy that is going to be a really solid, rock solid guy that you want to have on your team. And a build around guy, maybe the build around guy in the end, because Gunnar may be thinking, I'm going to be a Dodger. I'm going to be wherever the wind blows me the most money.
Who
That's where I'm going
knows?
to be. And if that's the case, you can't marry that. You can't. You can't. I dated a Greek girl back when I was single. She was not allowed to marry me. Like, literally, her family would not allow it. So therefore, if your thought is your agent is going to direct you to the most money, maybe the Orioles get there in the end, but they can't get there now. And we've seen this. So I think of that money and that. But I do think Gunnar Henderson, if he's going to be that guy to get Juan Soto money, he's going to play like Juan Soto. And that's going to help you win a friggin' lot of games, more than 89 and a half games, right? If you have any kind of pitching at all. And I think these guys, for as much as our guy at The Fan likes to blow hot wind on the internet about how stupid a lot, I don't think these guys are stupid. I think they've worked in one organization that was really thrifty, and they came here working with these maniacs that owned the team before. The new guy might be a different kind of maniac. I don't know. There's no saying what they're doing, but he's given them money to sign these pitchers one at a time, which I can't argue with any of them. And I can't argue that if I'm Sig Meidel and I worked in casinos, that I wouldn't look at it and say, give me $10 on black, $10 on black, $10 on black, and instead of 50 on red, let's just play Charlie Morton. Still, you're going to be a good leader, going to be that Kyle Gibson kind of guy, but give you some energy, a guy you want around. Let's give him some money and let's work it out, because we couldn't figure out Burns and we can't figure out Cease and we're not getting Skubal. So let's figure this out this way.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry, I'm lingering, but I'm trying to be optimistic about it, because if you gave me a dollar, I guess I'd take the over 90 based on the last 2 years, just based on the fact that they're going to figure this out and they have an owner, or at least has money, and they have a minor league system that can figure out a big blockbuster deal if they need to in July. So that's where I, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's all I got to
And look,
say.
I don't think you're too far off there in how they're thinking about this. And look, when I bring up the win, the over under for wins, my point with that is Vegas still thinks this is going to be a good team, right?
That's a
I mean,
barometer. That's
this
a
isn't, yeah,
barometer. Yeah,
exactly.
sure.
It's just something
It's
to
a
look at.
barometer.
So
Why to buy tickets? Because they're going to be a good baseball team. Fair enough.
now I will say this, and I won't back down from this, and not that it played out because Corbin Burns did exactly what you thought he would, and you didn't play deep enough into the postseason to really even gauge it. But I do think as they're presently constructed, they are much more constructed to be successful in the regular season. But in October, I'm kind of shrugging my shoulders right now. Now, the bullpen, I think, is deeper than it was at this time a year ago. And that's fully acknowledging what you said about Felix Bautista. But I think in terms of just what you have, because you brought back Sir Anthony Dominguez, closed games, did a good job for them for the most part over the final 2 months of the season. You still have Yennier Cano. I think Gregory Soto is such a wild card for their bullpen in terms of he was not good in August when they got him. He wasn't good in Philly. That's why the Phillies traded him at the trade deadline, but was better in September. He's not, he's, I think he'll be, I believe, 30 years old by opening day. So he's not so old to think that his skills are diminished. If he can be the guy that was, an all-star caliber kind of reliever a few years ago with Detroit, then I think you have the makings of a pretty nice core of high leverage guys there. That's not even talking about Andrew Kittredge, who obviously they added, and even talking about, like, where does Albert Suarez fit in? Is he going to be your fourth or fifth starter, or is he a guy that transitions to, maybe a bridge guy that pitches the sixth or seventh inning for you a lot of nights? So the point is, I think their bullpen, I feel better about their bullpen now than I did a year ago at this time, and that's fully acknowledging that, yes, there could, Felix Bautista might not be Felix Bautista, at least early on in the season. But there's also, to me, there's also no reason to think that he can't be effective for them, even if that means he's not an all-star reliever, he should still be effective, right? There's been a long enough period of time. This isn't a rushed Tommy John rehab for him. I'm cautiously optimistic about Batista. So I like the bullpen more. Up, top half of the rotation, we've talked about that. We'll continue to talk about that. I still think what you just mentioned is very much in play in terms of let it play out, see where you are in June, and see where Dylan Cease is at that point, or see where any number of other number one, number two starter types. Another Zach Eflin type at the deadline, right? I mean, that worked out well for the Orioles last year. Zach Eflin pitched at a very high level for them. For all their other trade deadline deals that you kind of looked at and said, oh, that wasn't so good, Eflin and Sir Anthony Dominguez, you give thumbs up to in terms of what worked. So, I think all of that being said, acknowledging that the pitching's not perfect and there's upside concern with the rotation, the bullpen, but a lot of that's hinging on what Batista looks like. But again, I think it's deeper. I do like the bullpen more than I did a year ago at this time. But on the flip side, I do think people sell short the upside that's there with their young core of position talent. So now, that does not mean that Heston Kerstad's going to become an all-star outfielder this year. That doesn't mean Jackson Holliday is going to be an all-star at second base, overnight. One of these guys may not pan out in the way that, a few years ago, even though he was never the highly touted top 25 kind of prospect in baseball, but Kyle Stowers didn't work out, right? I mean, and even in Miami, that's kind of proven out. He's probably more of a quad A player, and I love Kyle Stowers, great kid, but not all of them are going to play pan out. But you have enough of those guys, and enough of them have already become all-star talents. Let's make the assumption that Adley Rutschman, the 3 months was just, he was hurt, slumping, just weird. And he goes back to being Adley Rutschman of 22 and 23 in the first half, not even the first half of 24, because that was even a weird kind of season for him just in its totality. If he goes back to being that, the Orioles have two top 10 MVP caliber players in the American League right off the bat there. And that's before you get to Westberg. That's before you get to Colton Cowser. That's before you get to Heston Kjerstad and whatever he might be in an increased role. That's,
Well, I'd
Tyler
feel
O'Neill
better
thrown
about
in
it if
there.
they had signed Burns for $200 million and
Sure,
Adele
of
Frazees,
course.
right? I mean, you know what I mean? It would
Of
look a
course.
lot more like what the Yankees would do or what the Red Sox used to do or what the Dodgers currently
Yeah, no
do,
doubt.
which, or if you want to go play with 35-year-old guys from Japan who've never pitched, never thrown a pitch, and a 41-year-old pitcher who's thrown too many pitches, and, just down the line, it feels
I hear you.
ragamuffin to some degree,
I hear
but
you.
it's not complete. And if whomever this year's Dylan Cease or Skubal is, whoever that guy is that's on a contract or about to expire or would like to have Heston Kjerstad and three other bags of Bisaios and whatever else you're going to do to bring in that kind of pitcher. I mean, what if the Tigers go in the tank this year and Skubal's good? I'm making things up, right?
Right. You
But
never know.
something's going to happen. Arms are going to fall off. Guys are going to get hurt. Corbin Burns might have, you take a liner off the knee second week. Who knows, right? But for them, they're in a position financially and depth in the organization that if you already think, well, with Charlie Morton, we can be a 90-win team. We'll worry about it when the season gets going. Let's let some young guy. Let's let 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 the cake bake. Let Russ bake. Let's just let the season happen. We have a good manager. We have a good system. We have these veteran pitchers we brought in who have some semblance of a track record. We have this kid that might be Jim Palmer. Like we're thinking of, think about him in those terms. We don't have five of them, but we have five guys that might be Rich Dower and Doug DeSensei and better than Rick Dempsey, you know what I mean? You might have three Eddie Murrays on this team by the time Holiday gets here. Like, you know what I mean? Like Westberg, Rutschman, Henderson, Holiday, Cowser, I'll throw him in for now because he can still be pretty good. I don't know he's going to the Hall of Fame based on what
He's
I've seen.
valuable but when you account for his defense on top of what, inconsistent offensive profile acknowledged, he's a pretty valuable player.
All right, there's five guys right
A
there
lot of
that
upside.
all are going to get 100 million plus dollar contracts when their time comes, no matter what they hit. Because in the bottom end, Westberg's going to hit 258 and hit 21 home run and be just okay. On the best side, he might hit 290 and have an OB, might go over 400 and like you and. A lot of these guys have speed you don't think about with Henderson and these guys that are 30-ish. Just freaky. We just buried Ricky Henderson. You might have two or three Ricky Hendersons on the team, like
Well,
two years from
I'll
now.
never say that because
Yeah,
Ricky
right.
Henderson is one of the all-time greats.
I
You and
agree
I,
with that.
yeah. But I, your point is well taken, and that's the point I've been just trying to make in terms of summing up this offseason. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've loved this offseason. I haven't, Nestor. I mean, it's been underwhelming to me. But that said, I've followed their line of thinking with where they are, and just because you're underwhelmed with what they've done to augment does not mean we should sell short what's already here. That's the point that I've been trying to
Well, the
make.
Dominguez and Soto's and the deal they made last year at the trade deadline for the kid that they got to figure out, like all that cake's got to bake. I mean,
Sure.
you
I
know.
mean, I look, I'm glad you brought up Trevor Rogers, because look, I am not going to sit here and try to sell you on, oh, he's going to be their number three starter, because hey, I saw the same guy that everyone else saw when they acquired him, and maybe it turns out to be a complete flop, even though at the end of the day, I'm not that worried about Kyle Stowers or Connor Norby blossoming into these plus major league talents, right? And I think the rest of baseball kind of told you how they valued those guys as well. That said, when you look at what this team's done with a number of different individuals, including guys like Albert Suarez, right, who was a journeyman pitching internationally and hadn't been in the majors in 7 years, and look what they were able to fine-tune and tweak and get him to be. I'm not going to dismiss the possibility that they figure it out with Rogers, or that this Japanese pitcher who's in his mid-30s, talking about Sagano, who ends up being like really good, right?
Well, they're
And
paying him to be pretty good.
that's my point. I mean, I don't think we can look here and we can, and I've even talked about this, like Kittredge, for example. In terms of what I think he's worth in a vacuum, I think what they paid him was probably a tad rich. But my point in
It
saying
always
that
is in
is,
free agency.
yeah, it right. It, yes, it totally is. But my point in saying that is, I don't think, even if you don't, if all these signings don't pan out, and look, Craig Kimbrell didn't pan out last year. So it's not like the track record's perfect here, but
But
I give
Anthony
enough.
Santander panned out for years and years and just got himself paid, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Rule 5 guy. I mean, credit Dan Duquette for that. How many years did we bang on on Dan Duquette as far as,
Well, he
as
banged
Rule
on Dan
5?
Duquette about Machado too, and Kramer's still going to make 24 starts this year.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that deal didn't end up, that was the best you could do, right? And Yusniel Diaz was kind of a lame,
Dude, if they had
not
gotten
really a
a
hard
really good
worker.
player, it would have turned into Trey Mancini or some guy to be gone by now
Probably
anyway.
would have been gone anyway, right? I mean, I've already said to you, spitballing, if they do acquire a Dylan Cease, I wonder if Dean Kramer would be a guy that would be dangled, to that team in terms of like an upside back end of the rotation, not upside, high floor back end of the rotation guys. So, who knows how it's going to play out. But again, haven't loved the offseason. I'm not going to shy away from that. I'm not going to sit here and do cartwheels over it and say that they've improved their team dramatically or anything like that. That said, don't let that disappointment impact how you feel about the core of players that is in
Or their
place.
chance to win a
And
World
that,
Series, which is
and that,
very
and that,
legitimate.
and that's why Vegas has them at the win total that they are, which, hey, it's still behind. It's a few games under the Yankees. I hear that.
They
Yankees
spend
lost,
more.
they spend more, but at the same time, the Yankees lost Juan Soto. And go look at the number of 30-something players the Yankees are depending on. We're talking about all these young guys popping. I will still take my chances in most cases. And again, I'm not talking about some fringe guy you bring up to the major leagues. We're talking about legit top 100 or top 25 prospects in baseball that a lot of these guys have been. I'll take my chances with some of those guys popping up against 30 somethings trying to fight off Father Time another year. I mean, we talked about this a lot with the Yankees, and at times it even hurt them last year, right? I mean, with some guys, that staying healthy and all of that. So do the Yankees deserve to be ahead of the Orioles in terms of win loss and AL East predictions right now? Sure. I, at the same time, I'll remind everyone that as underwhelming as the Orioles were down the stretch last year, how many games did they lose out to the division? A couple, right? I mean, it's not like the
Well,
Yankees.
yeah, I'm trying to think this. I just Googled David Rubenstein in nursing homes to make sure that when I talk about a guy that ran nursing homes and was penny pinching dollars and stuff, I'm thinking to myself, let's see, we can spend 120 million or 140 million and win 90 games, or we could spend 300 million to win 94 or 96. Like the difference between spending all of that money and how many more wins you're going to
Well,
have when you spreadsheet it out and say, are we good enough and can we build it as we go and can we put ourselves in a position to be very competitive in April, May, and June? Be a plus 500 team and hopefully stay healthy. Hopefully get some at bats for Holiday that makes him a real bait. Like see all that everything I just said as to why they're going to be better this year, which is they have all of these players that are ascending, position players that are ascending
you hope.
that could you hope stay healthy. They appear to be ascending. They have the
Sure, right. I,
pedigree.
right,
They have the
exactly.
pedigree to be the horse you look at in February and say, that horse can win the Derby in May.
Yeah.
And I would agree with all of this. So therefore, the fanboy in me says, load your ass up on the pitching and spend a lot of money like you said
Sure.
you were going to do, because that's what Mr. Angelos's thing was always, well, when they get here, we'll spend, we'll buy, throw the arms, buy the bat, whatever the philosophy is, we're good enough to win. Let's go all in. Doesn't feel all in-ish yet in that way for this year. But to your point, that's baseball. Nobody ever goes all in because unless you're a dying owner of the San Diego Padres and just throwing money around, I don't, maybe you're a 74-year-old
The Mets
billionaire, or you're the Mets, right?
or
Or
the Dodge,
whatever.
well, the Dodgers, I mean,
Dodgers,
goodness.
right? Whatever. These are billionaires. So, like, again, I'm
Sure.
going to play the world's smallest, violin for all of them in a general sense. But when it comes to being competitive in all of this, I do see the validity of not giving all the money to Corbin Burns for all these years for his arm to fall off, or Santander being the opposite of all these young players, which is, I'm going to say, a diminishing player. I've watched a lot of baseball. He's going to be a diminishing player.
Well, and again, hit a career high 44 home runs. Is he going to do that again? You know, is
I'm
he
still waiting
suddenly
for
a.
Brady Anderson to hit 50
Yeah.
again.
And look, I love Anthony Santander, the person. You know, I think for me, I would almost venture to say, you know, you might miss that presence a little bit more than you do even trying to make up for the offense in the aggregate, you know, expecting each of, you know, four different young guys to be a little bit better than they were last year and trying to make up for that. And assuming Tyler O'Neill, who you signed to this contract, you clearly like, he's got to stay healthy. You know, he's been a very productive player when he's been healthy, but that's been a question. So, but the now I've lost my train of thought. But I think when you just look at this team as it's presently constructed, I think even if you went into the season now, I think you'd feel. I think Mike Elias, let's say, maybe fans wouldn't feel this way because again, I get it. It's been an underwhelming offseason from an aesthetic standpoint, from a standpoint of Santander and Burns walk out the door, and what have you
Well, the
replaced them
headline
with?
here is we
But
patched up the pitching and we hope the young guys are even better this year. That's
yeah,
kind of that's the
it
story,
kind
right?
of sort of is. But I will also throw out in the process of the moves that they've made, and again, you can sit here and say whether you liked them or not, they're 15th. They're projected to be 15th in payroll now. They're at $155.8 million is their
I keep saying
projected.
120, 140, 155. Okay.
Yeah. So,
I got to say it right, 'cause I don't want to be stupid. I want to be accurate.
and this is, and again, my big question is, are you spending that in the wisest way you can? I think that's certainly debatable. But I think where we need to remember, we're still, you know, a little under a month out until spring training. And remember, at this time a year ago, Corbin Burns was not an Oriole. They acquired Corbin Burns, what, a few days after the Ravens lost to the Chiefs in the title game. So we're still another week out from there. I'm not saying the Dylan Cease move is coming. I'm not saying a move for Luis Castillo is coming. But that doesn't mean that that move isn't coming, whether we're talking about next week or 2 weeks from now or a month from now. Or to your point, and I think this might be the one that I would put the most money on right now if I were a betting man, that it could be in June or July, right? I mean, you let it take stock, but everything you just laid out about payroll, you talked about payroll and how much I'm going to spend to win this number of games compared to this number of games. This is why people who bring up the expanded postseason field, they bring it up in a skeptical way. For as much as everyone thinks about it at face value and saying, oh, more teams make the playoffs, more owners are going to try. I think it's the exact opposite. I think you have smart front offices, and the Orioles could be lumped in there if you want to. Have at it. I don't care if you whether you agree with it or not, but there are absolutely own general managers out there who would say, so what's the baseline for us? You know, if we want to get in as the third wild card, hey, let's aim higher, the first wild card, because then you get to play the wild card series at home, like the Orioles did, right? You know, the first round bye, we've seen how that's played out for a number of teams these last few years in terms of whether it's actually, you know, actually that much of an advantage or
The
not,
Lions
right?
aren't happy with it this week,
Yeah,
I
right.
assure
I
you.
mean, we see it in the NFL sometimes even. So all that being said, what's our number? What do we need to, how many wins do we need to hit to be the first or the second wild card? Understanding that if the stars align, we can be better than that and win the division. And understanding if we're ravaged but completely gutted by injuries, it probably won't matter that we spend that much more money. Those same injuries are going to sink us either way, right? If we have that kind of a year where we lose that many pitchers or that many middle of the order bats, we're probably going to be screwed either way.
Well, that
The
many
point is,
pitchers would be last year. They better never have another year
yeah,
where they're losing
I mean, if
four
they have
number one
another year like
four
that, then
starters.
yeah, they're going to be in trouble, right? And most teams are. I mean, the Dodgers, for as much money as they spend, still look at how their season played out last year. They still, I mean, you talk about a rotation that was held together by duct tape at the end of the year, but the Dodgers spend what they spend, and they have the talent that they have, and they made it work. But in most cases, when you're looking at trying to run your models, your predictive models, and what your players are going to look like, what your team's going to be. You're kind of trying to stack it up and say, a lot of these teams, especially these mid-market teams, let alone talking about small market teams in terms of payroll, they look at it and say, hey, with a third wild card, that's less money that I have to spend to get into the playoffs. And we know that the playoffs are kind of a crapshoot anyway, so just get in. I'm not saying I like that. I wish more teams would try for as much hand-wringing as there is about the system being broken because of what the Dodgers and the Mets do. I
Get
hold,
in and beat him in a two-game series, three-game series, right? That's
but
what you
I
do.
also hold the and I might be generous with this number, the 10 owners in baseball, if not more, that aren't trying really at all in any given year. But when you have an expanded playoff field, to me, it's the exact opposite of what Rob Manfred sells it as. They get more TV money to split among the 30 clubs, but it also makes it easier to get into the playoffs. So why would I try? Why would I spend quite as much when I'm not going to necessarily be rewarded for that any more than just get in? Just get in,
Lower
and
the
I hope I
floor,
get
baby.
hot.
That's all.
Yeah,
That's the game. Lower the
seriously. I mean,
floor.
that's what I really think it is. And do I think some of that is at work with Mike Elias? Maybe to a degree, to an extent.
He's done the math on it.
Yeah. So look,
They
I
have
mean,
all their probabilities and statistics and analytics on all that too, right?
now, all that being said, to bring it back full circle, because you said this at the beginning of our discussion, is that methodology going to inspire people to buy into your brand and buy 13 game packages and 26 game packages and
They send
81?
me emails every day, just so you know.
It,
Every
what
day I
they've
get
done this
Verlander.
offseason, has it done enough to really truly recruit people? No. That said, I also said at the beginning of the offseason to you, I think the Orioles need to do a better job of selling the young stars that they do have on their roster right now, and doing more than just the caravan, right? For example. So, but I also think a lot of this, we've been over the territory of they botched their season ticket holder handling back in August. I think that had a negative impact on postseason ticket sales. The way that the team played over the last couple months of the season did not help. The ridiculous scheduling process that Major League Baseball has for those wild card round games that can be, what, at 1, 4, or 8 o'clock, depending on what TV time slot they want to put them in. I think it was a perfect, not perfect, imperfect storm of events that led to the thousands of empty seats we saw for those couple games, and not to mention the 30 years of scar tissue that you have pointed out over and
I'm
over.
glad you're the one
Valid.
bringing all this up
No, I'm
because when
just
I
saying.
bring it up, it's just, it's me being me
I think
instead of
it's fair.
me
There's a
being the only
very
one pointing out facts about like you have a business and a reputation and a brand that's damaged.
if you
And
remember.
if you don't acknowledge that your brand is damaged, we all do. I mean, we all do. I mean,
Well,
literally, anybody that's been here knows this. If they're going to come in from Seattle and come in from Atlanta and pretend that there hasn't been like damage done here that needs to be undone, not just with Little Mister and Dundalk, the loudmouth
I mean,
Hispanic guy, that it's a
for
lacrosse
me,
community too. That's another issue that we're going
oh,
into lacrosse season, not for you or me, but for the rest of the world. It's lacrosse season for kids, parents, like all of that. I just always think like they need to be much more top of mind than you and I now spending 42 minutes of our
sure.
valuable airtime here talking about them when we could be shoveling dirt on Lamar and Mark Andrews and like how long will they do that at the Fan? I don't know. BAL's their partner or both, whatever. But like getting people, okay, football's over, Band-Aid, here's a hanky. That's good. Baseball starts. Let's go. Let's go. We have hope again. Like we have
Sure.
hope again, right? Yeah, like, and we really do have hope. Like we haven't had that. I've been
Yeah.
on the air 33 years.
I still think this,
33
yeah.
years. There have been maybe 5 years where I could sit here on January something and say they might be a playoff team. They should be a playoff team this year. They should be. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
Better not not be.
I look at the full landscape of the American League, and who do you say definitively is better than the Orioles? Right now, I'd say the Yankees. Now, I don't think that's 12 games in the division, run away with it. The division race is over in late July, better, but I
I
think
don't mean
better.
$200 million better. I
But
only mean $150 million
in terms of
better.
the rest of the American League, I mean, I think Houston's taken a step back. It very much feels like, right? I mean, when you look at.
Well, I have John McClain on this week, and his last text to me was that he's pissed about the Astros.
Yeah,
Weren't interested in Santander to replace Tucker, and he wrote here, "I'm pissed." And you know what? He said, "I'm pissed."
yeah.
So when I got to get John on, I'll get that this week from you.
Right. So again, my point with all that is, they're still in a good spot. Is it as good as you'd like it to be based on the off season? No. And I'll agree with that. And I'll do they need to, as an organization, as a from a business standpoint, need to work harder to recruit people? Absolutely. But I also said to you, going back 2 or 3 years ago, this was never going to be a light switch. It's a dial. So you need to have a good feel for how to turn that dial, right? And how to pick it up in terms of recruiting and your ticket sales, your promotion schedule. I look at their promotion schedule. I haven't, and I apologize because as I'm bringing this up, I should have done this, but it feels like it's a little more robust than it's been in previous years. I've said that to you. Go look at the promotion and giveaway schedule for even teams that you would consider to be higher market teams. They all have giveaways. They do those things pretty regularly. Even during the week, you'll see some of them because, other than the Dodgers and a couple other teams, the Phillies, you'll find even some of these, some of these teams that spend way more than the Orioles on payroll. They're not drawing an amazing crowd on a Tuesday night in May, right? I mean, there are games where there's a.
Look, the Orioles were the place to be here for your daddy's time, your
Yeah.
mommy, me. By the time you came along, you saw a little bit of it in your childhood. It hasn't been the place to be in since the Ravens got here, really, since Cal Ripken. Like, hasn't been the place to be. Maybe even in a playoff game in 2014 with Machado, but it wasn't the place to be last October on two afternoons in October with the bunting hanging and all the things, the visions of sugar plums that you and I have dreamed of having players like, Rutschman and Holiday and Henderson, how bad you had to be to get those players, moving the wall back, moving the wall in,
Sure.
dealing with the creepy owner for 30 years. Like, yeah, I'm past all of that. Let's go. Don, give me a call. Katie, give me a call. Let's sell some tickets. Let's have some fun down at the ballpark,
But
It's
that's
been too
where,
long.
we've talked about this on the Ravens side. And again, I don't want to get too much into it as our conversations run as long as it has already, but you get to the point where you have to recognize you've got to work harder to recruit people. You've got to work harder to sell tickets. The Orioles are certainly in a way more advantageous position to do that now than they were 5 years ago when you were selling, oh, hey, Adley Rutschman will be here in 3 years, right? I mean, they're in a better spot than they were then, but a lot of damage was done over the years, and there's a lot more competing in just in general. The NFL is the only thing that's, I know you're not an NBA guy. Go hear the discourse about the NBA and, the quality of play. The how long the regular season is, ratings, all these different things, right? I mean, every sport deals with this other than the NFL. The NFL is the one thing that's kind of just,
And they can do anything.
yeah, exactly. They can do whatever they want and
I
get
mean,
away with
look
it
at
at
the
this point.
Commanders this week,
So,
how quickly that's deodorized all of it, right?
yeah.
I mean, it's just been deodorized by winning and by this kid. And the Orioles have this new owner, money bags, GM that knows what he's doing clearly enough to be competitive, enough for me to give him the benefit of the doubt, whether he speaks to me or not. And a track record of 2 years of navigating really tough stuff. I mean, Bradish, Wells, Means, like all the injuries, Batista, navigating that. Ravens couldn't navigate that when Humphrey and Jackson, these guys got hurt, Stanley, all these guys got hurt a couple years ago. They didn't navigate it. They lost to the Bengals with Snoop Huntley running around.
But if they can learn a lesson from the Ravens at this point in time now, and the Ravens deal with this too. We see what the ticket market is for regular season games for the Ravens, right? It's not what it was 15, 20 years ago, that's for sure, right? I mean, not even getting into that. It's the truth. Go look
Well,
at
I
the
know two
secondary
people they've
market.
thrown out of their seats, so I can
But
point that out.
I think when you look at that, what's the key? And this is where we kind of come full circle and say, we'll see, and we'll see what happens between now and the trade deadline, let's say. They've got to win in October. I mean, they're at a point now, much like the Ravens now, where it's just like, wake me up in January, right? And I say that facetiously. It's still fun. They win a lot. Lamar wins MVP. The guys make Pro Bowls. They've been great in the regular season, but legacy-wise, what you want to define you, It's January, and the Orioles now, having been to the playoffs 2 years in a row and having not won a game, just getting there is not going to be good enough. So that's where they do face a little bit of a challenge from a recruiting standpoint, from a growing your brand standpoint, because they do need to get there and win some games. Doesn't mean they need to win the World Series this year, but if they get to the playoffs again and they're bounced in the wild card round, or if they're swept in the division series, after they win the wild card round, no bueno, right? I mean, it's
Well, nobody ta nothing tastes good here. It doesn't taste good in Buffalo. If Andrews caught the ball and Tucker kicks a game winner, it tastes bad when you don't win. And we're feeling that this week
So
on the
that's
football
where
side.
the
And that's why I'm trying to breathe air into the baseball side and say, all right, our next best hope is, it used to be the draft for the Ravens. Now it's, well, baseball teams, on schedule to be a playoff team. Let's hold them to that. Let's hold them to that, right?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens between now and the start of the season. And again, to your point, and if you're going to ask me the most likely outcome, I do think it's something that might wait and drag into the regular season, because again, they need to take the next step in October. This rotation, as it's presently constructed, that's where I do have some skepticism about whether they have enough upside to do that. So we'll see how it plays out, but hey, Vegas still likes this team as it pertains to looking at it in the context of 30 teams in Major League Baseball. So let's keep that in mind and not lose sight of the optimism about the young talent that they already have that's established and more on the way, to see what it can become here in 2025.
I'm doing a lot of football around here this week. Got Greg Cosell on. I got John McClain, Hall of Fame voter in football, but a crazed Houston Astro and baseball historian and fan as well. So I'm sure he and I will be talking about, Jose Cruz and Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard, amongst other people. And I'll wear my Pastorini jersey, probably wear my Derrick Henry jersey to get his juices flowing a little bit. So we'll be doing a lot of football, but also some baseball. Barry Bloom's been hitting me up. I'm going to hit him up because he's out in the desert in Arizona with Corbin Burns, amongst others. It is baseball season here, I guess. I mean, it's not football season anymore unless you're watching on Sunday night, unless you're a Commanders fan or a Eagles fan. Oh, what a weekend. Maybe I should make dinner plans. No wonder I'm talking about baseball. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.